Peer pressure. We hear about it. Parents worry about it. They wonder what kind of impact it's going to have on their children. We're going to talk this week about peer pressure.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and we send our children off 8 hours a day, sometimes, to this school, and it could even be a Christian school, even a homeschool group that meets somewhere else. And inevitably, they come back saying, so-and-so said this. Mm. This is what happened. All of a sudden, they're warping in front of you. You don't understand. You're thinking, what on earth is going on from 8 to 3?
Well, all of a sudden, they're using phrases you've never heard. All of a sudden, this child who never talked to me like that is talking like that.
The sarcasm.
Yes, yes. Oh, that was a good one right there. All of a sudden, these things are happening. Or, can I wear that? Or why can't I do that? Or on and on and on and on. And we, for some reason, we're surprised. But I got to tell you, as we talk about peer pressure plays a part in absolutely positively everybody's life. Women carry purses that I'm convinced they would never carry or spend the money to buy other than the peer pressure. This same bag that's $25 holds the same amount of stuff that this bag that's $250 that they carry over their shoulder. Or for guys, this watch right here, Timex watch, keeps the same time as this other guy's watch that's 10 times as much. So how did we get bought into that? Where did we go with that? Watching where I went to college, a lot of missionaries came back and sent their kids there. And it's interesting watching these kids come back that they were not pressured into dressing in a certain way when they were in Tanzania or wherever else. Rosemary was in Japan. And you come back and the pressure from peers to do something certain ways, talk certain ways, handle things certain ways. Peer pressure is huge. And yet we're told in Romans 12:2, and it really says, Romans 12:2 says, don't respond to peer pressure. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, your world, this world around you. Don't conform to peer pressure.
And yet it's almost like a basic human behavior to want to just fit in and feel comfortable and be like others around you, be like-minded.
Well, I want to fit in and be comfortable to something. I want to belong to something. Mm-hmm. And we're in a culture today where I'm not too sure that I actually belong to my family. My family's really busy. We're going in 1,000 different directions. In fact, if we're going in all these directions, I'm a bother to my family. Come on, get your shoes. I can't believe you got out of the house without your bag. Go back in and get your bag. Mm-hmm. Get your backpack. I can't even believe this happened. And so all of a sudden, wow, do I belong to anything? You know, a lot of work and investigation has been done on why kids join gangs. And they join gangs because I belong to something. And then when all of a sudden I belong to that something, then I conform to what I belong to. And there's overt pressure or there's, you know, subversive pressure that's covert. You don't even see it happening to get me all of a sudden to talk in some way, wear something, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And it's huge in the life of your child. And as a parent, I need to know it's a reality. And as a parent, I need to see where it's coming from. And as a parent, I need to jump in and help a little bit there.
And take a look at even your own self. If you work in an office environment, I mean, come on, there's peer pressure there. What are they wearing? Where are they going to lunch? I think my eating habits have changed since working where I'm working, but it's normal. So we have to just accept the fact that it's going to happen in school and be prepared for what they come home with and prepare them for what they're going to.
To teach them to handle peer pressure now will prepare them to handle peer pressure later.
Yes.
There will always be peer pressure. Unless I teach my child it's okay, it's actually even a rush to stand up for what's right.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, why would I want to do that? You know, why would I want to stick out? Why would I want to be the one that stops to help that person? When the whole caravan walked by and this guy named Joe Samaritan stops to help that person on the side of the road in trouble. To teach them to buck a crowd is so incredibly important. But they are going to conform to something.
Mm-hmm.
And in that process, we want to be involved and we want to help them be the pressurers rather than constantly bending to pressure. We want to jump in. But you said a lot in the example. We do set an example. As parents, we set an example. What you said is exactly the tune here at Sheridan House. People come and they say, golly, you come to work, you gain so much weight. And it's because on this property, there's 20 men and 20 women. And I don't know why the women feel compelled to bring all these things to eat to this place we call the trough. And there's on that table back there, yes, there's, I mean, today,
oh
there are so many donuts there today. And somebody made some kind of a cherry cobbler that Ranelle made and put right in the middle. And there's spoons and there's these little bowls that you go through, and the men are devouring it and the women are just kind of going past it, mm-hmm. trying to go past it. But it's early. They'll be there before long. By 4 o'clock, people will be in there eating. And they will have conformed to something you wouldn't ordinarily do. It's in all of us, we want to belong. But also in all of us, it's hard to stick out. It's hard to take a stand. And I want to raise my child to be a leader. Leaders are people that can handle the peer pressure. In fact, they lead in mm-hmm. the pressuring of peers.
But that means that their convictions are so strong and so deep that that is what drives them. Because, you know, you don't want to give in to peer pressure. Okay, well, what does that mean? Not giving in, so let me paint my hair blue. Mm-hmm. Or not giving in, let me be the only one in the class that actually talks to the strange girl in the back of the class.
Whose hair is blue.
Right, yes. Right. There's different weirds. And so depending on what you have inside determines what kind of difference you're making, what weird you are.
Yes. Just making me feel weird right now. But yes,
it's okay.
I think the whole quest for at least 2 decades is to help my children answer the question, why? Why am I here? Mm-hmm. Why do I exist? And as we process the answering of the question why, then it'll give me the answer to the what. Mm-hmm. What am I supposed to do? But so often we go through life just dealing with the what, and we even say to them, what did you do? And helping them process the why. Why am I here? Why would I do or not do that? What is my root philosophy of life? And as we're practicing that, we're saying that because we're so easy. You know, we're here to serve Jesus. We're here to love Jesus. We're here to study our Bible. We're here to pray. But what we have to see is, well, what does that look like? Mm-hmm. Okay, give me the why and the what. Connect the two. What does that look like out mm-hmm. there? Because otherwise, I love Jesus, but I'll do what my peers say.
Right.
In fact, we love getting our kids in big youth groups, hoping that peer pressure will get them. And then we get angry when we get them in big youth groups, when we find out there's people in those youth groups that are actually sinners. What's that all about?
How dare they?
Yes, there's normal people there. And so the opportunity to practice this and the opportunity that I have to help my children with, and I do have to. And you brought up an interesting thing we'll take on in a couple of days, but how far do I let my children go in the area of peer pressure?
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, blue hair can be undone. I can't believe I heard Barnes say that. Blue hair can be undone. It was a very, very, very interesting thing happened to me a couple of weekends ago that followed up on Monday. A couple of weekends ago with our single mom event here, we had a face painter and we had this little woman here who was airbrushing tattoos.
Oh.
And, you know, they go off in 4 days.
Right.
And I watched, we had 1,000 moms and children here.
Oh my goodness.
And I watched these moms and they were kind of looking at each other. They're all off in church, different churches here in South Florida. And is it okay to let my child have a tattoo? Now, the irony is, probably 10 to 15% of those moms had tattoos.
Right.
And whether they're happy with them today or not is irrelevant. They had tattoos. And so we don't know what to do with tattoos in the Christian community. And as I'm even saying this, about 20% of the radio is just turned off because they don't want me having this conversation, which will be another week on dealing with the whys. Why can't I do that? The why questions we need to jump out ahead with our children.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't getting them. So I jumped in the front of the line and got a tattoo, which was one of the funniest experiences I've had because I asked for this big tattoo on my bicep and the feisty.
Did you get a rose?
No, I was going to get a rose for Rosemary, but I decided to go weird, and I got barbed wire and a cross. But I asked for the lady. This was a great moment. Can you put it on my bicep? And she said, looking at my bicep, I'm not sure they're big enough to pull this off. It was great. Well, I had been brutal to her before, so she was ready for me. So she put it on my forearm. Well, as you know, I wear long-sleeve shirts all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I just wear long-sleeve shirts. I don't want to show these bulging biceps and make people faint, so I wear long-sleeve shirts. So I went to a big luncheon for the start of school for Dade Christian School. They owned all of Flanagan's, which they were kind of freaked out. They're eating at Flanagan's Bar and Grill. I loved it.
Right.
And we're in there, and I ran in, and Jimmy Flanagan was there to welcome them. And I said, can I have a Flanagan's work shirt? I want to welcome them at the door. And he says, we knew you wanted this. We're all prepared. We got you a Flanagan's name tag.
Oh, my goodness.
Flanagan's short sleeve work shirt. Well, this was the next Monday.
Oh.
So I'm in there, welcoming at the door, and I see they're looking at me, but they're looking down at my forearm, and I realize, oh, my goodness, I still have that tattoo on there.
Maybe he got it before he became
so
a Christian.
So Dr. Barnes has it. Well, I don't think so. It's a cross
right,
with barbed
cross.
Wire. So what statement is that? And watching people come out of the woodwork, and some of them say, I'm so glad to see that because I have a tattoo and I didn't know whether it was okay to be teaching her. And I say, stop. Don't tell me this stuff anymore. I'm so sad to tell you this will be washed off in 2 days. It's a 3 or 4 day airbrush tattoo.
Oh,
it was great. But watching that, and as parents, where do we go with these things?
Mm-hmm.
And we need to jump out front, but we need to understand who is, and a peer group and peer peer pressure really comes from who is the most important relational entity in that child's life. And if the most important relational entity, who is their, quote, social group, if it's their peers, we are in trouble.
Right.
Because they will get to that party and their peers are all smoking whatever, or they're pairing off and going whatever, or their peer group at graduation is actually getting a hotel room for the night.
Mm-hmm.
How do we set it up where we teach them to do that? How do we know what are the boundaries? What do we let them go do? In our house, you know, nothing permanent. You know, you're a kid, no tattoos. You're a kid. You go out the door, it's your body, yours and God's. And so, you know, grow your hair a little long, we can cut your hair. We're going to experiment with a couple of things. And that's not gospel. That's every parent making those decisions
right.
for themselves. Bob, could you send us the list of the yeses and the noes? No. Everybody has to decide that. But what we have to realize early on is peer pressure is powerful, and it's even more powerful for the child who has a very limited relationship at home, a very minimal relationship at home. In fact, if it's a feisty relationship at home and I'm not getting any attention, and I have been taught the only attention I get is negative attention for negative behavior, then watch me push it further
mm-hmm.
and do what my peers are doing that's out there to just get you absolutely freaked out so I do get more attention from you.
Mm-hmm.
Peer pressure is powerful. Peer pressure begins. And it didn't used to begin this early, but it begins the minute that child hits school,
yep.
even if it's K-4.
Yep.
When that child hits school, looking at what other people like and other people are doing, and all of a sudden your child comes home with a different like for cookies or whatever it is. But the absolute pounding time is the end of elementary school and middle school.
Yep.
Somebody asked years ago, you got 5 children's homes at Sheridan House. Why did you pick middle school? And I said, well, we initially didn't pick middle school. When I got there, we had one house, and there were 6 middle school boys and 6 high school boys in that house. And we got to have 2 houses. We had a middle school house and a high school house. And I really watched 2 things. I watched high school boys were actually easier to work with.
Really?
The middle school, yes, because there was some
reason
logic.
With them,
reason's
okay.
a better word, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Middle school kids, wow, they were so emotional. And so everything was permanent and everything was dramatic. And then when we had a girl's home to the mix, that was medicate me. Wow, I don't know what's wrong with your gender. Everything is really dramatic.
Yes.
I don't even drive towards our girls' campus a whole lot.
I won't even fight you on that.
Oh, thank you. So realizing that middle school was a time when so many dramatic decisions were made, and many of them were made when you couple together a parent-child relationship problem, maybe due to behavior or busy of the parent or stress in the family or stress in the parent, you couple that with middle school. You put those two together and peers become everything. And if everybody's dying everything black, I'm doing it. If everything's dying everything purple, I'm doing it. And mm-hmm. dying for it.
Mm-hmm.
And their opinion becomes my opinion. And that's peer pressure. And understanding that peer pressure is a reality, you're not going to avoid it. If you think you can put your child in Tupperware and squeeze out all the bad air peer pressure, you're postponing the lesson. That's like saying, I'm never going to let you drive a car until you're 21. And then we send you out the door and here's the keys. They're not prepared to deal with it.
Right.
I wanted my children prepared to deal with things. One of those things that's so unbelievably important is this whole issue of peer pressure, setting my children up to learn about it, to learn the why, to get ready for it, to practice it on a smaller scale. Tori, just as a closer here, Tori, when she was, I think, in 6th grade, wanted socks, and they were special socks, and she was a school with uniforms, so the only way you can declare anything was socks. And it was EJs or EGs, some kind of socks that had those letters on the side. And the interesting thing is going to the store with her, and the regular socks that didn't have any EJ on that were a regular price. Once you put that initial on, the quality wasn't better. It was just cooler.
Yeah.
And having to say to her, I will buy you these socks. If you want these with the letters on, your money will pay for the extra. So you have to choose. Now, I will give you the money from the regular socks toward those special, for lack of a better word, peer-pressured socks.
Mm-hmm.
And watching her agonize over the decision, they were worth Dad's money. I'm not sure that they're worth my money, but I want them. And she bought them. And I never made another comment about it.
Right.
It's your decision. I want to put my children in a place to start making those decisions, but I want them to understand why they're making it.
And we've got a lot more to talk about regarding this topic of peer pressure here on Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and if you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries and all they do for single moms and their homes, you can find that online at shfm.org. to hear this program again, share it with a friend, even read the corresponding daily blog. You can find that at parentingtoday.org. That's again online at parentingtoday.org. And we hope you'll join us tomorrow for more on peer pressure here on Parenting Today.